So our reading today from Numbers, it's the book of the Torah, and it's describing, telling the story of the Israelites as they make their journey through the desert. And we know that this whole time period, this 40 years in the desert, is meant to be a period of strengthening them. And more often than not, what it becomes is an occasion of rebellion. And so the Lord and Moses go back and forth with each other as to whose people the Israelites are. One moment, Moses says, they're your people. You deal with them. And then the next minute, God says, they're your people. You deal with them. Neither one will take ownership. And yet we know that both Moses and God love the Israelites very, very much. Because even when God says, fine, I'll smite them all, Moses intercedes for mercy. And of course, God wouldn't keep pursuing them if he didn't love them. So I think we can all understand and appreciate the frustration that Moses and God have with rebellious people. And so we enter into this weekend with parallel experience, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Eldad and Medad aren't there for their ordination. We'll see if Deacon David shows up for his this June. But it doesn't stop God from doing what God wants to do. And that's the good news. God wants to lavish upon his people grace. It's only our rebelliousness, our sinfulness, that keeps us from receiving that grace. So both Eldad and Medad, and then the exorcism that takes place in the gospel, the disciple says, look, they're not part of our company. But exorcisms don't take place in the name of the company. They take place in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. And so if we are using his name and doing good things, clearly God is at work there. And we know this. We know this because there's plenty of people who are not Christians who still do very good things in our world. And then there's times where we see Christians who are not doing very good things in our world. And it's perplexing, isn't it? But that's kind of the mystery of grace. For us, though, let's look again at what James is telling us. He has very harsh words for his people who live in the lap of luxury. And it's at the expense of others. And it's a great examination of conscience for us who also live in the lap of luxury, although at times we probably don't think so, especially if this is all we ever see. If all we're doing is comparing, you know, this pew to that pew, then of course we might feel poor. But if we were to think that we could be living in Afghanistan right now or some other place that is less than desirable, certainly economically poor, or just devastated by war and tumult, constant oppression, then we would appreciate a little more what we have. The gospel, it's not a mistake that Jesus has sayings listed the way they are. It's meant for us to do an examination of conscience constantly, because change doesn't take place when I grab you around the throat and make you do what I want you to do. The job may get done, but that's not the change that we're looking for, is it? Again, the heart. It's all about the heart. That's why we probably don't see many Christians walking around without eyes or arms or legs, Because it's not our eyes that cause us to sin, is it? It's our heart. Which is why in Lent we're called to circumcise our heart. That's why for us as Christians, our outward sign of dedication to the Lord is baptism and not circumcision like the Jewish people. The desire is to be changed from the inside out. Our actions should reflect, our actions do reflect what's going on within our heart. Which is why Jesus makes it so clear that sin is a dangerous thing and we should take it seriously. Circumcising the heart is really not that difficult. Lent is a good image of what that would look like. Tiny little penances throughout the day to prove to the will that our passions do not dictate, but rather our intellect, our choice, that we say, I will refrain from eating in between meals, not because snacking is bad. Look at me. It's to discipline, to show that I'm not mastered by my fallen passions. That's why purity of heart is so important for us. The practice of chastity of the eye, custody of the eyes, chastity of the mind is meant to be a form of discipline. It's not because those activities are bad. The Lord tells us, go out and be fruitful and multiply. It's great. Nothing wrong. But orderly, disciplined must be the Christian life. It's sin that disrupts. It's sin that corrupts. And it's sin that keeps us from experiencing the love that God wants us to have. So again, we can see our ancestors of the past wandering in the wilderness and what happened through the rebellion. God still pursues. But we know not all of them entered into the promised land, only those who responded to his great grace. And so, by listening to James today, by hearing Jesus speak so strongly about sin, about corrupting the youth, leading them astray, about giving a cup of cold water to a follower of his, let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us have a change of heart.